Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends, Music Record Shop. Check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Hey, this Friday, Black Friday, the 27th, is Record Store Day. Come down, visit Music Record Shop. Doors open at 7. First 50 people through the door get a gift bag full of all kinds of goodies. They got all kinds of limited run specials going on for the store, so pick up some exclusive rare vinyls, and they always have CDs and tapes and everything else there too. There will be a special DJ set from Stan the Man, 18 and counting, from 10 to 4 all day. They're doing gift cards, $20 gift cards for $10, all kinds of specials. So come down, visit them on the 27th. And then come back Saturday, the 28th, Rock Paper Podcast presents Connor Lau with Brian Owen and Hands and Feet, live in-store performances, 2 to 4 p.m., free, sponsored by Four Hands Brewery and the Gramophone. So, come get your local music fix. Find them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey, this is Joe Murray, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says. Shane will drive to your house and bring you brownies and talk for
What's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 143, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, with Joe Murray. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing, Shane?
I'm fantastic. I'm really excited about this. It's been a little while in the making, but I'm excited that the stars aligned and we are here tonight to talk a little comedy and have some fun. And but Joe's got a big show coming up.
I do. What do you mean? What do you mean a long time in the making? I've been giving you the runaround.
A little bit maybe, but we'll.
I didn't have anything to promote specific. Sure. Now I have a big show and I feel anxious to actually promote it. And so.
Oh yeah, it's worth the wait.
Maybe. But yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
That's right.
If you don't want to, yeah. I wasn't giving you the runaround. I've been depressed, and now I'm not so much. So now that's pretty much the whole entire reason. I knew it would be terrible if you came over when I was so depressed. But now we're not. So what's up? We can talk.
Yeah, man. So you can see Joe at Blueberry Hill, December 12th. Mountain City Comedy presents Joe Murray, Andrew Frank, Ryan Dalton, Sarah
Bursich.
Yep. And hosted by Tim Convey. It's at $10 in advance, $12 day of show, 8 p.m. doors, 9 p.m. show.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think
Have you been to one of Tim's shows?
Yeah, I just went to the Ryan Sickler show.
With Andrew Topping, Kenny Kynes, and Grant, or no, forget his name. He popped in for a little guest spot. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard, but I've heard nothing but good things.
Reed
Garber.
Yeah.
Looks like Jamal Mayers.
Yeah. I knew the G was a.
He is a G.
Yeah.
He is. He's a black.
What a racist!
Show.
I mean, geez, I can't believe that. That was killer, man. I enjoyed that so much because I'm a huge Sickler fan. I listen weekly to the Crab Feast, and I told him after the show that he was a huge inspiration for me starting this show. Like him and Jay Larson do Crab Feast together,
uh-huh.
And then Adam Ray and Brad Williams do About Last Night together, and those are two podcasts that I listen to weekly for like the last 3 years or something, and that was a lot of, you know, I was listening to these guys and I'm like, man, these guys sound like they're having so much fun hanging out with buddies, and
right.
I was like, I want to do something like
that.
And
they inspired you to do that.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
So that's
and now I'm headlining and I inspired you to jack off into dress socks or something. I don't know.
Right. I do quote your material quite a bit with just the other night. So my cousin just had a baby.
Shane, I'm not trying to have you burn my material here.
Yeah,
Shane.
I'm trying.
You understand what I'm saying?
Hey man, I'm just getting
no,
the,
go ahead.
I'm getting the word
please
out.
Tell my joke to me.
Yeah.
But
do it. I was telling Stacey, I was like, oh, this one's a dud. Like the
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So I use the whole baby's a dud joke. We gotta get a new one. Because it makes me laugh.
That's funny.
So
man, that's intimate.
Yeah, I wish
Jeez Louise, I wish
I had the timing and delivery.
Well, you know what I mean. It takes a lot of pot to get to hone such a laconic delivery.
All right. But yeah, man, I am.
But I am excited for the show. Oh man, Andrew Frank and Tim's getting better. Tim's only been doing it for like a year, and he's already pretty damn good. So he's getting better. He's trying really hard and you know what I mean. Like he's proving that if you want to, you can get better.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm stoked you're back, man. I'm it's very exciting for me because you've been one of my favorites to watch for a long time now.
How long have you been coming to shows? I feel like I've seen you for 5-6 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't know, you know. I forget time. I lose track of time
because
I go to a lot, so it's like hard to.
Who was the best open micer when you started going to shows?
See, I didn't.
When you go to an open mic, would you say I know so and so is going to be there?
Well, because I worked nights for 8 years or something like that. So there was a lot of times I didn't ever get to go to the open mics actually because they were Mondays and or whatever. So I didn't really get to go to a lot of the open mics because I was working, but I would go a lot on Sunday nights, and that's when I usually would catch the headliner for the week. And I always had those Kilo Diabetes Foundation passes, so I'd get in for $1 and I'd go to the show. And but yeah, I mean that was when I started going, there was Jake Baker was here, Gabe Kia, Tommy John again was still, working here. And,
Six years ago.
Yeah.
Right on.
You and Josh Arnold, and then I met shortly after that. I started seeing Bobby a lot, Bobby J. Cox, and all these guys have become my buddies, and it's been a lot of fun to watch Matt Conte, another one. And,
right.
So... it was just it was really exciting to go to the Funny Bone and then get to hang with these guys weekly and get to become friends and all this stuff, and Sean O'Brien too, he's in and all those guys.
So. Right.
But yeah, they're all friends of mine now, and it's exciting to watch their success, and especially like Jonigan going second place on Last Comic and Letterman, and now he's got a pilot on CBS or something coming out.
He's gonna get a show. Yeah,
yeah.
It seems like
it's crazy though. You know, but hey, man, that guy, he's a machine though. Man, he's been writing all the time, and he's always got new material, and just always
Yeah, he's probably a person I when people ask me for advice, I say just do whatever Tommy John. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's I don't say that, but his work ethic you can't is you know pretty unassailable.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's kind of you know the one thing you hear is get on stage and write as much as you can. Tommy does that more than anybody
right.
I know personally, so that's why I offer him as an example most of the time.
Yeah, what so. Who was that guy that you saw first that made you want to get up and do comedy?
I wasn't really super into stand up comedy. I guess okay. Before I started doing it, I didn't really know a lot about it. So and the people I think of as liking now are people that I just got into after I started doing stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Bill, I couldn't say I liked Bill Burr in, 2006, so yeah. I started doing comedy. I like Bill Burr now, but he's not the reason I started doing comedy. Mm-hmm. So are you asking what made me get into stand-up or sure. who I like yeah. or what made me get I quit drinking, and I had a lot of free time, and I found something constructive to do with it. And people thought I should do it, and or suggested I do it, and it didn't seem like such a bad idea.
Yeah.
And there were a few places to do it, and so I did it at Laughs on the. Actually, I did it at a bar on Manchester one time, like a couple years before at an open mic, which is kind of nothing. But then I did Laughs on the Landing in 06, and that was the first real time. And so it's been almost 10 years now.
Hmm.
Yeah. But it was just kind of, 26 years old and newly sober for, 9 months. And all right, what are we going to do now? So this seemed, it seemed like a good thing to do. And it was great. It made me feel great.
Yeah. Yeah. I always, I hang around the funny bone, like I was saying, and people always would ask me, like, if I'm going to get up there or But I'm just a big fan, man. I enjoy watching, especially, you see a guy like Jonigan, where at least a good portion of the opening of his material is improv like stuff. He'll kind of feel out some things, and then it goes into actual material that he's wrote. But
sure.
But and it's fun to see like too, a guy of like a heckler and stuff happens. Then of course he can. Pick them apart on stage, and it's just so each show is different. That's why these guys ask me like why I keep coming back and why I keep seeing these shows, and if I've seen these guys a bunch of times, and it's just like, but each show's different. That live element you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
Like I always enjoyed the live aspect of it. You never knew what you were going to get when you walked in there, especially some wild nights at Westport, man. There's you go to a midnight show, everybody comes in there wasted, and It was always fun to see how people would handle it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know what? Now I think that's kind of now people are so done when they get to the midnight show that it's not even rowdy. They're just wanting to leave. The only reason they get rowdy is because they can't leave yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Because you think, man, these people are just going to be ready to have fun. They just started drinking, but they're just done drinking.
Yeah.
And they're ready to go home, and they can't believe they've made this decision that they're bound here for another 40 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of somebody like barfed in their beer bucket and all this stuff like right in the front of the stage, and I don't get how you would get that hammered and then your friends talk you into sitting in the front of the comedy club and
then you have all that energy and then you go someplace where you have to sit down and then it just takes it out of you. The adrenaline just rushes out of your body. That in your body just tells you to sleep. It's a dumb idea.
One night I saw Anthony Jeselnik down there, and it was St. Patrick's Day. It was a Saturday at midnight, and he, of course he's ruthless when it comes to any of that stuff. And there was somebody like people were wasted, like I said, and then there was somebody's phone went off, and he just starts roasting everybody from the stage, and I don't know, it was really good. It was a lot of fun, and And especially to see a guy like that whose career took off, you know, he got on those Comedy Central roasts and all that stuff. But it was fun to see him in a small club before then he moved over to Pageant and things and stuff like that. So that's one thing I do enjoy about going to Funny Bone and some of the clubs and stuff is just to watch the upcoming talent. You know, it's like it, you can see somebody there and you're like, man, this guy, you know, there's something here. Like this, you know, this
all right.
This is and then, of course, you know, they come back the next year and then they're got a Comedy Central show or whatever it is, you know, and that kind of stuff happens and it's exciting to watch.
It is.
So.
Do you have a list of, what's it, what's this play sheet you got in front of you?
Oh, I just wrote a couple of things down. Just so I, in case we get lost. Oh, I forgot about this part. So, that, the show December 12th. Mound City Comedy is they're doing a they teamed up with the St. Louis Food Bank, right? And
I thought it was U.S. Bank, oh, and I was going to make $1,000. What the fuck? I go with the no, yeah, it, yeah. It's the food bank. Yeah, if you bring a jar of peanut butter, you get entered into a raffle to win tickets to see Patton Oswalt and Amy Schumer when they come to town.
Yeah,
and I think another show that we can't. Or they can't name yet.
Right. But you gotta be in it to win it. So if you're in the house and you bring your jar of peanut butter.
Yeah, any they'll take Peter Pan. They don't give a shit.
Yeah. Choosy moms choose Jif.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who eats Peter Pan peanut butter? I was talking to Tim about this.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with peanut butter or
Peter Pan? Peter you don't? Pan.
No.
I've never had it. It just seems like it's for children. It seems like the only people that are ordering it are school cafeterias.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Am I wrong? Is it? I don't know. Is it? It's. A, you know what I mean? Why is it called Peter Pan? That's so dumb.
Yeah, man.
Are you defending Peter Pan right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I'm gonna fight you right now.
All
right, me and you.
This is the, that's the most emotional you got this whole podcast.
Yeah. Hey,
is when I assaulted Peter Pan's good name.
Don't you talk shit about my peanut butter, man? I like it all, man. I don't. I mean. I do. I think I'm more of like I don't really like the crunchy peanut butter stuff. I'm more of the smooth.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, you know,
I can see you being a smooth fan.
Yeah, I'm definitely a
smooth operator.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, man.
No doubt about it.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. I enjoy that. I would like to see Patton Oswalt. That's I was going to go before, and then they, something, whatever happened, they rescheduled.
Oh,
so,
he canceled the show?
Yeah, so now I moved over to January, so, yeah, I'll go again.
Man.
Yeah.
But I'll already have lit the loop aflame with our show December 12th, so I don't know if the pageant will be there.
Right.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
They'll rebuild.
Yeah, it is. Hey, they got that trolley going on there now, so they gotta do something to keep business going to pay that off.
That's true.
Yeah, so, anyway, this will be airing on, Thanksgiving, which is, one of my favorite days of the year.
It is?
Yes.
I can see that, sure. I mean, me too.
I'm a fat kid. I like to eat. So, I like mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And turkey. Uh-huh. And football.
Right.
And, you know, and then pumpkin pie.
I like every one of those things.
Yeah, so I'll just eat entirely.
You don't
stay
stuffing? You don't like stuffing?
I like stuffing.
I don't. Yeah. I guess I can eat three bites of stuffing.
Yeah. It depends. I mean,
all that other shit. You're like, I'm not going to fill up on.
Right.
It's literally called stuffing. You know what I mean? Like, we got better shit.
Yeah. I don't do any of the cranberry stuff, and I just like the meat and potato stuff. Man.
Sure.
Yeah. And then pie.
Who's your football team? Do you like Thanksgiving because you're a Cowboys fan? I hope that's not the case.
No, okay. I haven't really, to be honest with you, like, so I used to watch a lot of football a couple years ago. I used to watch a lot of the Bears. I really enjoyed the defense. That's what I like watching football for.
And then Brian Urlacher retired, and so did you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, you know, a lot of that stuff went on. But I got to the point, too, where, like, I don't know. I kind of lost interest in it. I wasn't at home very much on Sundays anymore to watch football. I was out.
Yeah, it's hard to root for a team. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not the local team.
Well, yeah.
Into it pretty hard.
And I was out supporting live entertainment more, so it was like just kind of fell out of I mean, I'll still watch if it's on or something, right. You know, if I go to my buddies will call me up every now and then, go meet at Hot Shots or whatever, and we'll sit there and watch a game, and that's cool, but like I was big into it for a while. We used to do like a, you know, a little pool kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
And that kind of kept me more interested when you get some money on it, and so it was kind of like one of those, you know, $5 buy-in, and then winner takes the pot, whoever got the most right for the week. So so it was nice to get a, you know, make a, if you won, you got $100 or something for the week and pay for your rest of your season.
$100.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, hey, man, for just for picking a circle and a couple of teams. And so I'll take $100 any day. But yeah, so do you have any Thanksgiving tradition at all, or
Thanksgiving tradition, you know what?
Or is it just eating football or watching football and eating food?
I mean, that's kind of, yeah, it's pretty pretty standard in my family. Kind of depending on what, you know, whether it's the bigger multifamily affair or just my small brother and sister and mom. But it's all the same. You know, it's the same no matter what. Yeah, it's everything you think it is.
Yeah,
but
we used to do a lot, like, with the family. And then when my grandparents passed, like, everybody kind of does their own thing now. Like, they kind of held everybody together. And after that, like, everybody just, we all do our individual Thanksgivings now instead of one giant family thing. And all my cousins are all, you know, we're all in our, like, getting to our 30s and things. So we all, they all have kids and married and then stuff like this. So it's like the family has grown tremendously.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was last year. Or something. I had like 7 cousins born in 1 year, so it was like, you know, so that was a little crazy, like just mass producing in the family. Right. So, but one tradition my uncle keeps going every time we go over there. We watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right. Yeah. And that's the go-to.
Sure.
Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, and it's such a classic, man. That's a. That's one of my favorites, man. It's such a funny movie.
You know what else is I realized is a Thanksgiving movie 2 days ago when it was on TV is Son-in-Law.
Yeah.
You know that?
Oh,
that movie? Yeah.
Sure.
That's about Thanksgiving. Well, not really. It's about the star power of Tiffany Amber Thiessen, but it's set around the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah. I met Paulie at Plush a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That was a pretty good time.
In the month it was open?
Yeah.
Am I thinking of it? I must be.
Yeah, it was there for a little while.
A place called Plush can't last.
Right. I don't know. It was a nice place. It was just, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure what went wrong, but yeah. I saw John Vinigoni open up for
Paulie? For
over there.
Yeah, he had an interesting documentary about him being on the road in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I can't think of what it's called, but it...
Is that the...
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was... It was just him complaining about how there's no pussy this trip.
Yeah.
Yep. Just striking out on pussy and you can't believe it.
I met a guy on that show also, Steve Simone, who I really like a lot. That we must have like grew up around the same time, and so I can really relate to his material about, like, you know, he talks about like watching WCW, WWF stuff, and like wrestling with his brother, and that stuff cracks me up because, you know, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
And just like being a fat kid and stuff at growing up, and so I, you know, there was a lot of things that really related to my childhood experience, and
right.
And just like it was, he would tell a story. The way he would tell stories, that's what, you know, for me it was great too. Is he's a great storyteller on stage, and he would do the voices, you know, of him and his brother and stuff, and like he just, you know, adds so much to the, you become, you know, relate to the characters and things that are going on there. So I enjoy that kind of comedy a lot too, and of course,
Who's your favorite St. Louis comedian? Is it a fat guy? Is it Josh Arnold? His fat guy material?
Yeah, I do love Josh Arnold. He's he's one of my favorites for sure. I think I've got So I bought a shirt from him, the half-fat shirts, and I wear 3X. And I guess he got a couple, and, like, nobody was buying them. And because, like, I guess he sold out of all the small sizes because people buy, like, ironically, or however it works out, but there's not a lot of the fat guys actually buying them.
Right.
So he had these, like, so he ended up, like, just giving me three or four of them. So I've got, like I think, like, five half-fat shirts now that I, so I can pretty much wear one almost every day of the week.
And that equals 2.5 fats.
Yeah. That's a lot of fats.
Five half-fats.
Yeah. But, yeah, I really enjoy Josh's stuff. I went to the...
Will you even laugh at a skinny comedian?
Sure, yeah.
You good? You good?
Yeah.
Stryker, Spurlock? You,
yeah.
You laugh at Stryker?
I like Stryker.
Sure.
I like, man, that joke kills me every time that that he looks like a Eugene or, what's the other name? Damn it.
Oh, he doesn't look like a Stryker. He looks like a
Eugene. Yeah, yeah. That's the joke. man, butchered it. Anyway, but it makes me laugh. Again, this is why I leave it up to the pros, like Joe Murray.
I like hearing you tell the jokes.
Yeah,
Shane.
Well, it's radio gold, man.
It's so. Rock Paper Podcast. Shane sets them up and Shane knocks them down.
You ever do any of these podcasts?
I've only done a few. I've done the one they did at the Funny Bone for a while. I did that.
Tackling
tough issues. We tackled a few tough issues, two or three times, I think. And then, yeah, I did Jeremy Essig's one a couple years ago. But yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Jeremy's. I wish he would have kept it going. I enjoy.
He got good people on it.
Yeah.
And me. he should do it again. He's back in town.
Yeah, I like his thinking. He's very educated and
Has he done your podcast?
Yeah. Okay. We recorded actually sitting on the stage at Westport Funny Bone.
Oh really?
Yeah, like I don't know, spring sometime, something like that.
Right on.
So yeah, I've got a lot of people on here, man. Like I said, I'm at 143 now. I've been trying to get around town visiting all my buddies and.
Have you been on other podcasts?
Yeah.
Do you go on other podcasts to promote your podcast?
I was just 2 weeks ago or something. I was invited by this guy, Mark, to be on his show. And we kind of did like a... He did my show and I did his show kind of thing. So that was fun.
This is called Rock Podcast Paper?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I was like...
That's too confusing.
Jeez. Real original. No, his is the Q now with Mark Bland. And
that's his name?
Yeah.
If anybody needed a stage name, it's Mark Bland.
Then I also was invited by the guys at the John and Kane show to come on there and promote my show. I was doing back in June, I did like a one-year anniversary party for the podcast and over at Steve's Hot Dogs, and I had a bunch of bands come in and play and stuff, and they invited me in to promote the event, so that
right
was
on.
Cool. Yeah, so there's a little bit every now and then I get invited on somebody else's show, so it's pretty exciting when I can. It's weird.
As a podcaster, do you listen to a lot of podcasts? You just not even watch television?
No,
because you're going to so many shows. You told me you're doing 2 or 3 podcasts a week.
Yeah,
you're doing these other podcasts,
right? Well, mostly mine. The other ones are very rare.
So you've done other ones.
Yeah.
But
mostly it's my stuff. Okay. Yeah. And then, I mean, like, I go to a lot of shows. I go to the podcast. I watch some TV, but mostly it's live entertainment.
Right on.
I got DVR, so I watch all my shows.
Yeah, and you go to rock shows, too. And
yeah.
I was just thinking about comedy shows.
Yeah, I go to a lot of...
But you're rocking hard.
Oh, yeah. I went to 2 shows. I went one Friday and one Saturday.
Really?
So, yeah.
Damn.
I like to party, man.
You do.
So... I try to keep it balanced. So I try to make time for the wife and everything.
It's 9
too.
O'clock and you're drinking a gallon of Mountain Dew. This guy don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
This guy.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
You don't have to work till 3 tomorrow.
but yeah, man, I was going to ask you about happened with Joe Case. I really enjoyed all those down in the basement at Brennan's.
Oh, Jim Murray's Comedy Jokers, starring Jim Murray.
I think it's about time to reboot it, man.
Do you think? Well, I don't know if it's needed. And isn't the improv? I don't know where to do it. Well, the problem was I got a little lazy, first of all, and I found that it was I wanted to do give people 10, 12 minutes at a time who weren't getting, because at the time I thought we had a lot of comedians who could do 10 to 12 minutes fairly well, and they didn't have a ton of places to do it. But I found that, so I would put 5-6 guys on, and then 4 months later, you know what I mean, you're back to the same people,
right.
Even though you do 16 people who can do a good 15 minutes is a lot, but you still have to keep them, you know what I mean? Sure. So there wasn't, I just didn't feel there was enough people to sustain it, and it was a tough room, and it was, I don't know, it was a... I did it for a little over a year, and I don't think I'd go back to that. But it was, that's a cool venue, though.
For sure.
But for whatever reason, man, those whenever there it is, like you have to work for it there. Yeah. But it kind of made me not care so much about, you know, silence and know, you know what I mean, because I would go there and just know these jokes are good, but I'm just going up there cold in front of, you know, 40 people, and I had to be okay with them, like, not understanding or digging it for probably 5 minutes, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And just kind of smile my way through, and so it helped me in that case, certainly. But how many did you go to? Did you like it?
Yeah.
Did you think it was a cool, because that's a cool room they made.
I've been
at Brennan's.
Yeah, I've been, and then Conti did a bunch of stuff down there too, and
right.
One of my my favorite experience down there was the
skip. But I didn't want to make it seem like I quit doing that because it was hard. I quit doing it because it just seemed like it was maybe becoming a little stale, and
yeah, sure.
I'd already done it for a year, and I thought maybe I could do something else, but I just never did.
I can totally get it. I mean, because even doing the show now, you know, like I had over a year now. And a year and a half or something I've been doing this. But I'm at to the point now where I'm circling back around guest again, you know. I'm inviting some people back on for their second appearance. But, I mean, a year has passed, and catch up with them now, see what they're doing.
Right.
But that's, you know, like I said, when you're doing so many shows, the turnover and stuff, when you only have so many comedians and stuff to try to bring in fresh talent and things, but you're going to get to the point where you're just circling the same couple of guys back around and...
Yeah,
so I get that, but yeah, man. I thought it was cool. I enjoyed what you guys did down there. I was gonna say my favorite experience down there.
Yeah, hey, I say somebody if a comic is listening to this, talk to Kevin Brennan at Brennan's.
Yeah.
He'll probably let you do something down there. They have that space. It's I would imagine you could do something cool down there.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw that sketch comedy week that you guys did down there with Josh and Nikki and Greg and...
Oh, Greg's sketch week. Yeah. That was a few years ago. And Chad Daniels and Augie Smith.
Henry Phillips. I was like, this room is stacked full of...
That was a great night. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is...
Yeah, that was before incredible. They redid the room, and it was just kind of like a wine cellar feel with like crappy sofas down there.
Well,
it was super wide and not long.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and then they kind of rotated it to the...
Yeah, now it's a proper stage and all, but the other way had kind of a speakeasy, dusty feel to it.
Yeah, it was cool, though. I was thrilled to be a part of that night, just to, you know, be in the room with all these greats, and I was like, this is unreal that lineup is in that room, you know, in a basement of a bar. And
Chad Daniels is a killer. He might be the best working comedian. Probably half the people in who should know don't know.
Sure.
People who think they know comedy or act like they know comedy don't know Chad Daniels, and he's really, really
that kind of stuff bothers me so much sometimes, man. But at the same time, I'm also like thankful because
I say that, and by the way, Chad Daniels is like, a lot of people fucking know me, asshole.
Yeah,
I'm doing all right without you.
All right. I love Chad, and I, you know, enjoy stuff, and then that's the thing, like, it's like, I enjoy, you know, I'm glad, you know, I want him to be successful, but at the same time, I like seeing him in a small
club. You want
to
see him suffer.
Yeah, sure.
That's that.
Yeah.
That sounded like you were going someplace.
I'm very selfish, and I want to.
I want to see him succeed, but I want it to be bloody, goddammit.
But I, you know, that's kind of that thing. That's like, I hate sometimes when some of my favorites like blow up, and then they're, you know, even in music, like for a prime example right now is that Chris Stapleton. I was I'm a huge fan of his, and then like he went on the CMAs a little bit ago, won like 3 major country music awards, and played with Justin Timberlake, and now I'll never see him in a club anymore. It's like he's gonna
and now people that are douchebags like
yeah, everybody's like, oh, I love Chris Stapleton. I was like, oh, where were you a year ago when I was talking about
him? Yeah, that's a real thing. I get it. You know what I mean? I feel that. But, yeah, I promise to never, ever succeed. So, you know what I mean? I won't. You don't have to worry about that. You will be one of my 12 fans until you or I die. I die, quite frankly. But, yeah, you know, I used to feel that way about Stephen Colbert.
Yeah?
I remember thinking, who the hell is this kid? Or not kid. Who the hell is this guy on when he was on the Dana Carvey show? Him and Steve Carell. And I like Steve Colbert. But I remember thinking this is. I remember watching Stranger with Candy and knowing, oh, that's Steve Colbert. And then now he's, you know. But I was like, I was with him in 1996. Sons of bitches.
Oh yeah. That's another one for me is Brian Regan. I remember, he put in his time long before I ever discovered this stuff, but I remember, like, in 98 or something, whatever it was, I think I discovered his Comedy Central Presents, and I started telling all my friends, and I got a copy of his CD, and I started, like, you know, play for my friends and things, and they were like, this is the funniest stuff, and I was just cracking up that whole first Brian Regan live album, and of course, you know, he's still like, you know, kind of unknown. I mean, he's still he does very well, but he's not like, you know, I don't he's not quite like Louis C.K. level or anything. He does nice theaters, but he's not doing arenas and
that's
like,
true.
You know, stuff like that to that level yet. But he like I thought it was nice on I saw on Facebook when Brian did his last special live at Radio City or whatever it was. Patton Oswalt put like a nice post about like watch this special because this is the guy that we all you know look up to and stuff like this is the
every comedian who you ask any comedian who their favorite comedian is he's probably the most popular answer something like that.
I listened to him on Brian Regan on Nerdist podcast one night with Chris Hardwick and. You know, Regan like doesn't curse and things during his set, and he's like just works clean all the time. But it was really funny because he did like a whole bit about like he took like his Pop Tart bit, like where you know the Pop Tart takes whatever you know the directions on the box for Pop Tarts and all that stuff.
Right.
And he's like, and there's like microwave directions too that were just like. So he like did that whole routine, but he put in like you know everything was like. Put the motherfucking Pop-Tart in, you know, and all like you put all these curse words.
Oh, he did it dirty?
Yeah, just for fun. And it was like, it was really weird hearing Regan putting all these curse words in his act and things because I've never heard him curse. So that was the first time for that.
So when you go to the Funny Bone, if someone's swearing, do you think this guy doesn't know what he's doing?
No. I mean, because there's times.
Do you think of yourself as a judge of comedy now? Where you can watch somebody and be go and think you know what he doesn't know. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
You go, this guy hasn't figured this out yet.
There might be a little bit of that. Like, I mean, I would just give my perspective as a fan. I'm not anybody to tell you how to do your job, to tell you how to do a joke or write. I've never done any of that. But as a fan, like I know there's sometimes. You can get a way better reaction by saying fuck in a punchline or something compared to anything else or whatever it is, you know. But at the same time, I feel like there's also those people that use curse words as like a crutch kind of thing. Like, you know, the material's not strong enough sometimes, and then they if they curse enough, people will laugh at it.
Right.
So I see both, and like, I don't know. It's just, but... Like I said, if people ask, I would tell them, but I don't know. I'm not.
Would you say I swear the perfect amount?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Good. Yes. That's what I was asking. Actually.
Yeah. You're very tasteful with all your curses and your jerking off into socks and everything else.
Yep. You know what I mean? You gotta you gotta know what's in your arsenal. You gotta use it.
Yeah, you gotta play to your strengths, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So is it, you mentioned, Bill Burr, you said, is your favorite working right now, or you got another?
Bill Burr, probably, yeah, I think so, yeah, I listen, do you listen to his Monday Morning Podcast? His Monday Morning Podcast is just him talking to himself,
right.
And it's entertaining, it's funny, yeah. And I know he puts work into it, and it's not off, you know, just the top of his head,
sure.
But it's still a feat to do that. It's insane that he does that every week, and it just flies by, and I don't listen to it every week, but every week I do. I can't believe he did it again, and he'll be like, you know what, I gotta wrap this up, and he'll do another 25 minutes, and he'll right. be like, I think half of that could be a bit, dude.
Yeah. I do think, like, as a comedian with a podcast, like, I think they all should have, like, I mean, it's a great way to...
You think so? You think I should get a podcast?
Yes. That's what I'm trying to say is, when's the Joe Murray podcast coming?
Well, what's... I mean, what is the point of it,
though? The Joecast.
I understand it's to get people to listen to me and then go to my shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I would need an angle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't just want to have people on and interview them.
Sure.
Because I feel like...
Well, I mean, that's like... So, like, Crab Feast and About Last Night, like, those are more storytelling podcasts. Like, they'll bring in another comic and they just kind of... They all tell road stories kind of
right,
stuff.
Right.
And, but it allows them, like, I mean, I don't know how much of it they take to the stage, but I feel like it's a great way to continually be writing, you know, like, because, you know, you're essentially almost like workshopping ideas with two other comics.
Sure.
Sometimes, you know, so, you know.
Right.
It might not be, the joke might not be there, but you can take that idea and then work on it later and stuff like that.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just feel like they're...
It's not a bad idea, too. I mean, it would... I need structure, Shane. You know what I mean? It would be good to have a podcast and, you know, someone who... I'd need a partner, though, you know? I couldn't just do it myself. I wouldn't have the...
Sure.
The tenacity to keep after it.
Right.
I need someone to be afraid to disappoint.
Yeah. Well,
Other than my listeners.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't know. I feel like... Creativity, you know, inspires other creativity. So, like, if you just
I agree.
Kinda, you just sit there, you guys can all keep feeding on.
You get
each
your
other.
Mind in a in an elevated comedy state for a few hours a week. Yeah. It can only help, I suppose.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just that's why I think. Like, I mean, you look at how many of the great podcasts that are, you know, available. Pretty much, a lot of them are comedians. You know,
right.
A lot of the big successful ones are. A lot of comics that are working and doing their thing, so you know, Mark Maron's right at the top there and all that stuff.
Yeah,
all those guys. So I don't know.
I'll think about it, Shane.
Yeah, I'm just,
and I'll have you on to promote your podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like, when
you just want another podcast to do.
Yeah, exactly.
God, Shane.
I'm trying to. What I really would think would be cool, like
King of all media, yeah, Shane Presley.
That's what I'm going for. I think it would be cool to like. Build like a network, like Nerdist, like something like that, like that. So, from my show to inspire other people to get out there and to start podcasting, and then eventually build the Rock Paper Network, and then and have
the Rock Paper Empire.
Yeah, I'm doing it, man.
I hear you. No,
take it over.
This is the microphone of an empire, right here. It's pretty fancy.
Yeah. Hey, only the best for Joe Murray.
No, I mean it. It looks nice. I like it.
Yeah, well, I like nice things.
You deserve nice things.
Sometimes I like to treat myself. I go out and get myself a nice fancy mic. And a gallon of Mountain Dew.
And a gallon of Dew? I calcify my kidneys.
But yeah, man. I've had Andrew, Ryan and Tim on the show.
Oh, on the show.
Yeah,
okay.
I haven't had Sarah on the show yet, but I'm excited about that lineup.
Yeah.
Mound City Comedy presents Joe Murray, Andrew Frank, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't know why it's called Mound City, but it's Tim Convey's joint.
Tim's project. It's cool that...
He's a go-getter. He puts on a good show, that kid.
Yeah, he's already been.
He needs a shave. He could use a shave.
Oops. already be able to get Sickler down there, and who was the first?
I think they had Charlie Winfrey at one point.
Was that the first one?
Maybe. I think they had Josh too, perhaps.
I don't remember. Anyway, he's been doing it for a while though, and it's cool to see that, like, that Sickler show was pretty well sold out. Like, I mean, place was packed down in the duck room, so it was a good turnout for and everything. And it was so hopefully all those people went and told some friends, hey, there's something cool going on here. So
we can fill Tim Convey's bloated coffers with some more money.
Yeah,
he's got all that money from being in Jamiroquai, and
Jamiroquai.
Now he's just
virtual adding insanity.
To some more. Yep.
Yeah.
It is virtual insanity.
Yeah, man.
The greed of this kid.
I haven't seen that. I saw Andrew a while ago at a bar show with John Maddy and Jake Ashlock.
Uh-huh.
And that guy kills me every time, man. He's
Andrew Frey?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's another one that's like just...
He's a hard worker,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, constantly writing. He's always got new stuff.
He always has new stuff. Yeah, yeah. He's one of the only...
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, but yeah, he probably writes more than anyone in St. Louis. I would say maybe him and him and Essig. Mm-hmm. I bet they're writing as much, if not more than anyone else.
Yeah, it's exciting to see. Hopefully some good things happen for him. And I know he's already doing some road stuff and things, but hopefully they continue to grow.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
I would like to predict Andrew Frank wears a ridiculous sweater.
Yeah.
At the show.
That's pretty fair.
It's a safe bet. It's betting on Carolina at home, but.
Yeah. So I had an idea. Kind of ripped it off of About Last Night podcast, but I thought it was interesting, but. If you could pick a movie, like Disney movie from your childhood and things, like Mighty Ducks or Sandlot or any of that type of film, which one would you pick to be in?
To be in? Yeah. To have been in?
Yeah. What would be your childhood movie you'd see Joe Murray in?
Rad.
Yeah.
Do you know the movie Rad?
I don't think I know Rad.
It's I think 86 maybe.
Yeah.
85, 86, 87. It's a BMX movie.
Okay.
It's got Talia Shire, who is Adrian from the Rocky movies.
All right.
And Bill Allen plays Crew Jones. It's a BMX. I think you can watch the whole thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. But I think I don't know anything else that dude was. Oh, and it had Bart Connor, who was a very gay looking Olympic gymnast at the time. But I guess all Olympic gymnasts are kind of gay looking. But he was you know, blonde and Californian in the '80s, so he was gay as fuck. But he was like the evil BMXer and then for inexplicably they had like the biggest race of all time. In this guy's back in Crew Jones' neighborhood when he was and they allowed him to enter the race, which is called Hell Track. And,
Did you just watch this last week or something? Or?
No, I used to watch it. I probably rented that 10 times when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I was one of those. I don't know, because you couldn't buy VCR. VHS, cassettes, or VHS cassettes back in the day, unless you had 7 credit cards, and, you know, you had to put your car as collateral if you wanted to buy. I remember we bought Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and then it got to sleep in my bed. It was so expensive. That's not true, but it was like $60.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've seen Rat, and I know for a fact I watched it on YouTube one time, the whole thing, and I liked it so much that my old roommate Steve found a copy. I bet he spent $120 on it, a VHS copy of it. And then
he must have really liked you or something.
Yeah, well, he must have. Everything gets creepy on the Rock Paper podcast. He must have really enjoyed your company.
Yeah.
What'd you do to deserve that, Murray? Yeah, but now I don't even have a VCR. So yeah. And I think it was on YouTube, so I don't. So, hey, maybe I can just resell that.
Yeah.
Make me a quick 150.
Hey.
Put that straight into my arm. Sleep through this show. Disappoint some people. And it all comes full circle. Yeah. And then I have to come back to doing the podcast again to apologize. And I did heroin with my rad money.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
The apology
I have to apologize for selling my VHS copy of Rad on eBay for $170. And buying black tar heroin.
I just listened to Stern Show, and they had that Steve Renazzisi on.
Oh, sure.
And he had to make the apology tour, apologizing for saying he was in 9/11.
Yeah.
In the Twin Towers or something. I don't remember the whole... I missed the actual story.
I think he, several years ago, said that he was in the towers.
Right.
When it happened and he got out. Or maybe he worked there and he got out. And he wasn't there. I think he said he got... out of the tower before it collapsed, when that never happened and never even worked there. Yeah. I think that's what happened. But right. he's scheduled to be at Helium Comedy Club.
I saw that.
Yeah,
and I was interested to see how that goes, because
I'm interested to see how he handles that too.
Yeah,
because he has to address it, but an interesting thing will be that some of those people will just be there for a comedy show and not know he did this and just automatically like him less when he admits to this thing they didn't even know he did.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Even the whole thing like Michael Richards and stuff, like, you know, that whole mess he went through. And she's like, I don't know how...
Is this where you defend Michael Richards?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
This whole mess that these people made.
I just don't get how you ever recover from that fully. You know, it's like, because like you said, it's like they have to talk about it, or if they don't, then everybody's gonna be like, "Hey, man, you said some fucked up shit or whatever." You know,
right?
Well,
Kramer. Kramer's got those Seinfeld millions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He does not need to be hitting the road.
Maybe he's not a great example, but it's going to be interesting to see how Steve handles it and how...
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, we'll soon have a third comedy club here in town. That's going to be exciting stuff. Helium opening at, the Galleria, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen where it is, though.
Yeah, I haven't been down there at all, but I guess
it's where the best stores put their best stores, though. I do know that.
Yeah. I think Nick Vatterott said something about, like, he hasn't been this excited about a thing at Galleria since the opening of Lids. That made me laugh pretty hard. That Nick Vatterott's a funny guy.
That Nick Vatterott is a funny guy.
He's been on the show too.
Oh, really?
This is
a real podcast?
Yeah, man. Oh, my list of...
I didn't know Nick Vatterott was on this.
Yeah.
I don't wear pants.
Yeah. Speaking of not wearing pants...
Please do.
I went back and I watched that, speaking of the Joe Case earlier, your video where you were doing like a promo for Joe Case.
Oh, yeah.
And you stood
on the couch, sure.
You stood up and you had your shirt tucked into your underwear. And
mm-hmm. A brilliant visual gag.
It made me laugh pretty hard. Still, that timeless material holds up, man. That's like 3 years ago.
You know what? It's Tim Convey and I shot a promo video for his thing today, and I think I got naked in that too. So,
oh man,
yeah. So you are gonna love this one.
That's what I...
This is...
Now you're tapping into some comedy gold right there.
I think I'm tapping into a vein of yours.
I think it was Seth Rogen and those guys, talking about how they try to, like, top each other and Knocked Up and these other movies, you know, that they were all in. And then, like, whatever one of them that's, like, Seth Rogen showed his ass in. And then what was, like, the next one? Forgetting Sarah Marshall, like, that Jason Segel, like, showed his dick in.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, man, how do we top that? Like, this guy's, showing his dick in there, and they're like,
"Whoa." Yeah, he probably had a big dick too, didn't he?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? He did. I remember it.
I didn't study.
I was sitting, you know, it was pretty big. I saw it.
I didn't freeze frame.
We all saw it.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to tell from the, what, I don't know.
Actually, I know it was, but you know the phone girlfriend from my act? That girl really exists, and she was in love with Jason Segel's penis from that shot. That's how I know it was a pretty big penis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she would know from penises, I think. I think she's seen a penis.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A couple, maybe, huh?
Well, one.
One.
Sure.
yeah, man. I don't know. Well, I think that's a good place to end it on penises.
Oh, that's where we started, and that's where we end it. And
everything comes full circle.
It does come full circle, much like my penis. this is the most you laughed the entire podcast. Yeah. Come on.
It's funny.
Well, it was hey, I didn't mean to give you the runaround, and I hope we can do this again between in another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll pencil.
You think you'll be going on?
Oh yeah, I mean
you'll be on,
by then.
You'll be at Lember like 4,200, dude.
By then I'll bring over my Ferrari and have that sweet podcast money, and I don't know.
We'll have driverless cars and
yeah. Hopefully I'm still doing it. I don't know. See where this thing takes me.
Roadhead's gonna get a lot less interesting with driverless cars, you know.
Yeah.
Yep, it's gonna be a lot less dangerous. It's just another blowjob now. Who gives a fuck?
Right. Yeah. Hopefully maybe you can invest some of that sweet rad money you're gonna make off of selling that VHS and maybe we'll all.
Yeah, hey, if someone's listening to this, I will hear an offer for a pretty good quality VHS copy of Rad.
Yeah.
Facebook me.
How's the cover? Is it good shape?
There's no cover.
No cover. All
but right. That's because it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't need a cover. Because it's in your VCR, and what else is going in your VCR when you have Rad?
Yeah.
You don't need a cover.
Yeah.
What you need a cover for your VCR so nothing happens to it. I'm a salesman.
Yeah,
I'm a salesman, Presley.
I'm sold.
Are you going to go to this show, Presley?
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you, man. I'm very excited about Joe Murray's return.
Are you going to bring some peanut butter?
Hell yeah.
You're going to be the Peter Pan guy.
Okay.
I wouldn't feed Peter Pan to a convict's dog.
All right. So here's the bet. So your bet is Andrew's going to wear a silly sweater, right?
Yes, but he'll hear it. He'll get word. So one person will listen to this and who knows him and tell him. But I bet that happens anyways.
I bet, let's see. I'm going to bet on there's two jars of Peter Pan peanut butter in the box at the end of the night.
Besides yours.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And we should also bet on the height of Ryan Dalton's hair.
It's getting up
he's
there.
He's got a mane.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a mane, but he's got, that's a thick, it's a thick cornfield up there, isn't it?
All right, yeah, come out Mountain City Comedy December 12th at Blueberry Hill. Joe Murray, Andrew Frank, Ryan Dalton,
Sarah Burka.
Sarah B.
She's going to draw the Prophet Muhammad.
And hosted by Tim Convey. $10 tickets, 8 o'clock doors, 9 o'clock show.
Mm-hmm. MountainCityComedy.com, Tim told me today.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah, follow him. They got a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. He's all over the place. Where can they find Joe Murray stuff?
I'm on Twitter at Comic Joe Murray, which is kind of lame to be like Comic Joe Murray. Well, Joe Murray is the guy who invented Rocco's Modern Life.
No shit.
And I think, so Joe Murray wasn't, and I didn't think of something clever, and I was like, this is really, I am a comic, and this is just me, this is just going to be dumb jokes I have, but I should think of something better, but it makes me seem like,
if you heard comic Joe Murray, it seems like an amateur black comedian. So I should probably change that.
I think I made a comment about that John Matty did a show, and then like all the guys on the show were comedian, their name and stuff, and then it was just John Matty. I was like, John, you need to put comedian
how,
in front
how
of
how do
name.
People know?
Yeah.
Right.
What were you thinking, man?
Yeah, I really wasn't thinking, man. I should change it. Yeah. It seems tacky. But yeah, but I'm a comic. I'm Joe Murray.
Yeah.
See, at comic Joe Murray.
One other thing I wanted to ask before I forget, while I got the time before I forget in 5 or 6 years when you do the show again. How'd you end up coming across to be able to work for Microsoft? So didn't you like sell them some jokes or something years ago?
Well, that was a thing that Rooftop Comedy did, where they, what did they do? They teamed with Microsoft, and you just had to write. And Rooftop Comedy had cameras in, you know, all these clubs, so they had people. You had to do. It had to look like it was just your material, but it was about cell phones and how complicated they are. And you had to say a certain thing in it, which was, you know, the slogan for it.
Okay.
And so a bunch of people, did it. I think it was probably a dozen people or so did it at the Funny Bone. They told us about it, you know, Tuesday, and then I think it was the next. So not we didn't have that much time, that much notice. I think it was like one or 2 days later. So there's only, you know, a dozen people. They paid me. That was like the first time I got a lot of money for doing what I thought was a lot of money for doing comedy. Just a check in the mail. That was crazy.
Nice.
It was fun. Yeah. But I don't, and they played it. They would play them before like Daily Motion videos, right. Not like before YouTube videos or anything. So I don't know how many people saw that, but
that was for,
but it wasn't like my,
phone,
it was for the Windows Phone,
which was, huge success.
Was it?
No.
Okay. I was going to say. Are you blaming me for this?
Because
my check went through, Presley. Yeah, I'm telling you that now. I got that check and I cashed it. And I paid. I keep these lights on with it.
That's all that matters, man. Yeah, as long as those checks go through from Microsoft. And
did you you saw that? Did you think those were funny?
Yeah, I think all your stuff's funny.
Good.
I'm a fan.
I can tell.
That's why I'm here.
This must be. Is this just a thrill to be in Ray Finkel's house?
Yeah. Ray Finkel. Yeah, man.
Well, I'm glad we could do it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready to. Because I haven't seen a show in a while, a Joe Murray show. So it's I'm excited to about this. So yeah, December 12th. I'll see you there, man.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Hey, this is Joe Murray, and you're listening to Rock, Paper, Papschmear.